Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, and thank you oh so much for the many, many blessings you've poured upon us all throughout this day. And now the awesome blessing to be able to get back into your word. We truly thank you for that. Be with us now as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word love, we'll turn to the Gospel of John in chapter 16. Pick it up in verse 25. The Lord teaching here. It says, "These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I say no more, I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father." Here, speaking of the relationship that we have available to us when we love the Father, and that we can pray directly to the Heavenly Father by way of the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost given to us by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So we have that close personal relationship where we can cry Abba Father, which means Daddy or Papa, a term of endearment. That kind of relationship is what he's speaking of here. That close personal ability to be able to have that kind of relationship. It's amazing. All right, now turn to John in chapter 17, and we'll pick it right up in verse 1. It reads, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." Of course, he was speaking of Judas Iscariot there. "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That verse 20 is awesome, because that includes us in this precious prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ was praying for the disciples. And including us in that is so wondrous and so generous, so merciful, that we could be tied in so closely with the Lord in this relationship. As he reads there again in verse 20, neither pray I for these only, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. All focused and centered around the love and the relationship of the Heavenly Father and of the Son and of all of those that believe. Bringing us all together as one in that love. And that's truly what it's about, to love God with all your existence. Because he's loved us so much, and loves us, and will love us for eternity. And it's so awesome. That prayer he sent up to the Heavenly Father shortly before being arrested. And over in John chapter 19... pick it up in verse 25. This is after he's already been on the cross. He's been crucified. And while on the cross, we see here in John chapter 19 in verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. Now he's speaking of John, the Apostle John, who is the author of this gospel, the Gospel of John. But instead of identifying himself here, as humble as he was, he just said that disciple rather than me, or rather than I myself, or rather than John the Apostle. No, he just said the disciple that he loved. All right, now go to the Gospel of John in chapter 20. And here we see the resurrection. In John chapter 20. The resurrection day, what we celebrate each year as Easter, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we commemorate as the Sabbath, the holy day. That's why we gather in church the first day of the week. And here we see it in John chapter 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple. Another note here is the other disciple is actually speaking of the Apostle John. To the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloths lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Note in verse 9 where it says, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Even though the Lord had told them over and over that he would, but yet they didn't accept it and believe it. That's why they didn't truly hear it or know it. It didn't come in. It didn't take until it happened. And then they realized, well, that's what he was talking about. Now we see the fulfillment of it. The indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost gives them the full wisdom and understanding of the Word of God after the day of Pentecost, or on the day of Pentecost, I should say. All right, verse 10. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut up where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus to the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And that is so awesome. To love us so much, to go through the horrible torture of being on that cross for those 6 hours, dying on that cross, taking on all the sins of all mankind, past, present, and future, rising up out of that grave, stuck around some 40 days, continuing to preach and teach to them, and then ascending to the Father, sitting on the right hand of the Father, our great high priest, the propitiation for our sins. Now go to John chapter 21, picking it up in verse 15. Another encounter they have with the Lord before his ascension. In John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Now the reason he did it three times is because Peter had denied the Lord three times, so he had him speak out three times and admit that he loved him. As it continues, the Lord speaking, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto them, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Of course, speaking of John, because John's one that leaned on the Lord and asked about who betrayed the Lord, and Peter was curious what was going to happen to John. In verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Amen. And we know this is speaking of John, the Apostle John, and John lived longer than any of the other apostles. And he's credited for writing the small epistles of John as well as the book of Revelation. But now as we continue our study of the word love, let's go over to the book of Romans. And of course, Romans is written by Paul, the Apostle Paul, the one that was saved on the road to Damascus. And here in Romans chapter 5, let's pick it up in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace that the Lord was telling the disciples over and over about that he would give them and us that believe because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. When the Holy Ghost comes into us and gives us that peace that passeth all understanding, that the world cannot comprehend, a peace of mind, a peace of heart, a peace that gives us the comfort of knowing where we're going to be for eternity, so we don't fear death in that. Read that again. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, this hope of the glory of God is not talking about wishful thinking. This hope is confidence in the fulfillment of the promises and prophecies of God. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, because of the display of love that he has given us, because God loved us so much that he allowed this sacrifice to take place, that his own Son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross, to take on all the sins of all mankind, past, present, and future, because he loves us that much. All right, now go to Romans chapter 8. Further teaching from Paul to the church at Rome, where it reads, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Jesus Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so that be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. When we truly accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Ghost comes into us immediately, sealing us to the Lord, bringing our spirit back to life. That's what being born again is about, being spiritually awake and being born again. And that never changes. That is sealed. That is permanent. As it continues, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Quicken, brought to life, resurrection, eternal life. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now this mortifying and this dying is talking about cutting off, separating from. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Like I was speaking of earlier, that precious term of endearment, Abba, that we can now proclaim when we become adopted into the family. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So much available to us. Even the very suffering that we go through is an opportunity to grow and to build rewards and to have that for eternity. So don't worry when all the hardships come around. They are opportunities to bring honor and glory to the Lord. Challenging sometimes, yes, but they are for a purpose. And we know that we have that personal indwelling Spirit of God within us that keeps that connection constantly and prays for us. As we further go through this chapter, we'll see that. But we are out of time now. Let's close here. We'll get back into Romans chapter 8 next time. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for the many, many blessings you pour upon us and all so much love that you show us each and every day. And the love that you have in store for us for eternity as well. We look forward to all of it. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all of it as we pray. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Thank you.